When I perused the pages of my very first field guide, one of the birds that caught my eye and my imagination was the limpkin. This peculiar bird is literally one of a kind, the only member of its family. The limpkin is somewhat related to cranes, though its habits are quite different. Unlike cranes, limpkins frequently sit in trees, and the limpkin diet is strictly limited to mollusks, in particular the Florida apple snail. Apple snails are huge and delectable for those who like such things. Some restaurants serve them, especially in Oriental markets, and they apparently taste like escargot. Anything so delicious finds ways to protect itself from predators. Apple snails have a tubular siphon on their left side that allows them to breathe while underwater. This is apparently an adaptation to hide themselves from snail-eating birds, and it works for most species, but limpkins find their snails not only by visual searching in clear water or on exposed marsh and dry land, but also by tactile searching, by rapidly jabbing their long curved bill through floating or submerged vegetation while keeping their head above water, or by sweeping the bill in an arc with the head held above or underwater. Although limpkins excel at finding snails, their specialization puts them at the mercy of the snail population. When numbers of snails drop, limpkins go hungry. This makes them exceptionally vulnerable to development and agriculture in Florida, where people control water levels for many purposes other than birds and snails. During droughts and when people lower water levels in an area, one other bird that specializes on apple snails, the snail kite, often attacks limpkins to steal their food. Maybe to avoid this harassment, maybe because it's easy for limpkins to locate their food by touch, and maybe just to elude predators and humans, limpkins are often more active at night than in daytime, often even vocalizing loudly under cover of darkness. A diet of little more than snails makes the limpkin itself rather tasty. It was extirpated from most of its accessible range in Florida in the late 1800s by overhunting for food. Unfortunately, even as people slowed down the direct slaughter, development and agriculture have continued to take a huge toll. Breeding bird survey results indicate that the species has been undergoing a consistent, steady decline in recent decades after recovering a bit when the Migratory Bird Treaty Act went into effect in 1918. When you're in the right place at the right time, they're not hard to find, standing taller than the marsh vegetation and walking about slowly but deliberately. But on my first trip to Florida in 1988, I had a horrible time finding one and finally got my only glimpses along the Anhinga Trail in Everglades National Park well after dark, while my patient family waited in the car since the mosquitoes were so thick. And I never saw one again in 5 subsequent trips until this month when I found one out in the open at Brinson Park near downtown Kissimmee. This bird sauntered about, giving Russ and me excellent views, even letting me photograph it eating a huge apple snail. I posted a photo gallery of it on my birder blog. Perhaps the most unusual thing about the limpkin is its name, which is apparently derived from its limping gait, though frankly it seems to walk just fine to me. Whatever, it's a wonderful species, and I'm really honored to have been able to spend some time with one, and hope my children and one day my grandchildren will be able to enjoy the same pleasure. Production of For the Birds is made possible by support from KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.